audience, can you hear me?
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast. Long-form reviews exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, JY Pod, inviting you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of the Grateful Shows podcast takes us back to June 15th, 1976, a Tuesday night at the Beacon Theater in New York City. Shall we go? Grateful Shows Tour Book 3, Show Number 2, a meditation on the Beacon Theater in New York City, New York, Tuesday, June 15th, 1976. Frankly Scarlet. So here we are at night two in the city. Will the Grateful Dead turn up the heat on the second night? And before we start, let's give a shout out to HBO, as this week they're showing Gone with the Wind almost every time you turn on the damn thing. Remember the remote control with the long cord attached to the TV, the box, or whatever it was? Finally, children around America were replaced. Our mothers and grandmothers are happy with multiple viewings, though. Grandma, who doesn't have cable, even made the trip up north to stay with us, creating our own little domestic civil war. But there ain't no bitching about her fried chicken. And I helped. And it keeps them preoccupied in the process. So it's better to leave us alone and hit the city earlier for the last night at the Beacon Theater. Now, why do we even bring up Gone with the Wind? Well, as Scarlett O'Hara famously exclaimed in the face of utter ruin, tomorrow will be another day. Her Deadhead counterpart, Scarlett O'Fire, tends to view shows in the same manner. After all, tomorrow is indeed another day, another show, another chance to get it right, whatever that is or means. Anyway, tomorrow has arrived, and once again, it's time to take the plunge into night two of five on this fine June 1976 tour. The show starts out with The Promised Land, the most popular opener of the year. Nothing special, but next comes Sugaree. We feel it merits a reading from the tour book, so let's go there. A reading from Grateful Show's tour book number three, show two, Sugaree. With Jerry in fine voice to boot. Consider yourself lucky to experience a Sugaree as a total sensory pleasure rather than something to be endured. In the space of a decade, the song will degenerate into an overweight middle-aged dude with a sandpaper voice struggling through the chorus. That said, raise your hand if you have stayed the same weight in your mid-40s as in your mid-30s. Vocal abilities be damned. Let's take a moment to give a quick shout-out to the youth of America. In the 70s, young people ruled the demographic landscape, with the 18 to 24 age group climbing to 13% of the population. Add another 26% for those 24 to 44, and that's 39% of the entire U.S. population. The youth movement is on the wane, but aside from the fact that many in the older generation suffered from the effects of war and outdated healthcare, we, the younger generation, have historically moved the social and pop culture needle more than any other group. Ask Stephen King. He even included lyrics from Sugaree in his novel The Stand as a featured quote. And the virus that wipes out most of humanity is called Captain Trips, for Christ's sakes. As the book won't be published for another 2 years, he may have been among those attending the Boston Music Hall shows last week. They did do Sugaree on Thursday. Right now, the Jerry virus, or Captain Trips, infects the crowd one by one with each sweet note from his guitar. There is no incubation period. The effects are immediate, beginning with a slight euphoria, an impulse to grin for no reason, and a predilection for appreciating the slower, finer things in concert and in life in general. Don't you dare wash your hands, gargle, wear a mask, or take any other precautions. This is one virus you wish to become infected by. Jerry decides to lay it on heavier. He's got a solo coming up, and the man is determined to take us all down. Phil administers the shot. Stick out your arm, you know you want it too. Garcia crawls slowly through your bloodstream. The hit is on, warm to the touch. The initial coldness, where the skin was broken, has disappeared. The glow is all around. Troubles and daily life are forgotten. We are completely present with the music and those making it. This is a Zen setting. We sit in the austere garden, letting the vibrations flow over us. The setting is perfect. We are in sync, and the show may begin properly. Yum. So, how about that? Always wondered about that Stephen King Grateful Dead connection. There's definitely enough horror at some shows to fill a novel, and there are definitely enough stories in the songs to fill a writer's mind. We read The Stand before we saw The Grateful Dead, so to us, Captain Trips is the virus, not the guitarist. And it's a great name for the virus that would wipe out humanity. Then again, how many promising lives did The Grateful Dead take down? And conversely, how many desperate souls did the music lift up? That's a situation that'll be debated for years. Anyway, how many more years do you get to hear Sugary So Sweet? Not many, 4 or 5 at the most. And just 2 more years with Donna. Yeah, you can give her all the shit you want, but as they say, Sugary with Donna just hits different. If you beg to differ, then go right ahead. But before you do, at least listen to some of the era's JGB material, especially versions of The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down and Moonlight Mile, with the same careful approach with Keith and Donna at Jerry's side. We think JGB in 1976 is some of his finest work, and it couldn't happen without Donna. Moving through the show, we get a Cassidy repeat, a killer version of Candyman, another repeat of Music Never Stopped, then a tranquil Must Have Been the Roses. But we'll stop here for a tour book reading of the next song, because tonight, Bob and Donna put us through an emotional blender. To the tour book we go for Looks Like Rain. And as if the band had read our minds, the metaphor of the dying rose and the end of a relationship intertwine on the trellis of life. Bob and Donna, together in solidarity, read a letter of fading love. The color fades, the petals fall, and the once strong, vibrant stalk wilts under the weight of a world that cares little for it. The song is for those who feel this deep in their souls. No matter how high the highs, the inevitable crash hurts all the more. Then there are the true romantics who have yet to experience such pain. Their romanticized idea is of a prince who once placed you on a pedestal, only to be suddenly taken away, not by deceit or infidelity, but by the unlikely fate of dying in battle or in a duel, defending his love to the very end. Live the lyrics, feel the pain. Honor does not reside in devastation. The unbearable clouds nearly force you to end it with a swift jump in front of a subway car, but your heart tells you he wasn't worth it anyway, and it prays that you listen. A sonic bath of time and distance, the only cure for a malady of broken romance, provides the tonic needed to restore order within you. Donna and Bob have done their job. The song ends, and we are left to contemplate a world without love at all. Ain't love grand? Ain't love a hassle? Love ain't what it's cracked up to be, and on that note, there ain't no place I'd rather be with a Tennessee Jet up next. Yet another repeat that is very well received in New York. New Yorkers, it seems, love their Jed. Okay, that's 8 songs down, with the end of the set looming. But it's another monster finish that somehow conjures up some majorly disturbing themes. It's time to dip into the tour book for this one. As we take it to the end of the set, happy listening for a Let It Grow drums, Let It Grow, and Might As Well. Let It Grow. Let It Grow works to further the organic nature of this first set. The earth, the flowers, the water, all conspire to maintain the delicate balance of life. While urban areas are disproportionately important in finance and the process of making money, nature is where humanity finds its soul. Again, it's Donna and Bob who spin the tale. Their documentation of themes integral to our well-being is a wonder to witness. Dare we say Donna is at the top of her game? Some may disagree, but the duet of male and female vocals highlights our human origins. It reminds us that, at our core, we are biological beings, like all life on Earth. The fundamental needs of life, including the instinct to reproduce, are universal, persisting despite complex societal influences. We journey with Donna, Bob, and the rest of the band to the makeshift garden to find our spiritual home, stripped of modern complications. Let It Grow is an epic tale of life, one that hopefully won't be lost on city dwellers. How can they possibly understand the smell of black earth, the contentment after a day spent working with the soil, knowing that they are continuing a process practiced by humankind for millennia? Nothing is as important as food production. But, as with educators, people in this field have been devalued and mocked to the point where they no longer take pride in their work. The parallels are clear. Farmers grow food, which keeps our bodies healthy, and teachers cultivate children's minds, which leads to a healthy society. Conversely, a lack of understanding of one's societal role leads to dissociation. Unable to identify, he wanders the outskirts. His suffering comes from within, yet he blames it on society, especially women. He must have his revenge. He walks along the street with a paper cutter in his pocket. The plastic handle is reassuring. He cuts women's clothing while riding the crowded subway. They don't notice until they get home. Barely visible slice marks on the skirts. Sometimes a purse. It wasn't enough. They didn't even notice him until today. Exiting the subway, he spied an exposed arm jutting from a baggy blouse. He sprang into action and walked in the other direction. The woman felt a sting and gasped, but the subway was too crowded for her to identify the culprit. Her helplessness called to him as he left, the reaction he craved. He vowed to escalate his attacks, but a fading whimper was not enough. He wanted to feel the victim's pain. Any woman would do. Real or not, they know how to scream, he thought. He would strike soon. Around him, a swirl of beautiful notes cascades in the sunlight. He looks up and, with a wistful glance, focuses on the world that has forgotten him. Might as well. But he disappears from our consciousness as the first notes of Might as Well interrupt. Good timing. Might as well save several women from the vicious attacks that would eventually capture the city's imagination and lead to a feared nickname. Emboldened by the name, and finally an identity, the intensity and frequency of the violence increased. Wipe every negative image from your mind. This reality will not come to pass. In fact, much of this fate is due to the overflowing happiness right here at the end of the set. Okay, there are some missed lyrics and timing issues, but it's impossible for any form of violence to occur as long as Jerry is taking us on a cleansing journey through our minds. A ride from euphoria to ecstasy to the next emotion on the line. Of course, all the stations are positive. This is the manifestation of the flip side of our dangerous mind, a rollicking joyride, an expression of the human spirit that has seen us through the most difficult and dangerous times our species has faced. This show has begun to crack open. Life awaits, with our friendly conductor, good old Captain Trips himself at the helm. Seat taken. Now wait patiently for the conductor to validate our tickets with his puncher. The journey has merely begun, with anticipation high for the second set.
Thank you. We're going to take a break so you can do the same.
An hour and 20 minutes shaved some time off last night, but not quality. Personal highlights for the set were the Sugary and, of course, that Let It Grow. But as usual, your mileage may vary. Have a nice set break. Set 2. It's Tuesday night at the Beacon Theater in New York City, June 15th, 1976. Set 2. Shall we go? Okay, now, from the first note, you know it's going down. St. Stephen, the first in New York City since Gaelic Park on August 26th, 1971, brings out the best the Big Apple can offer. But what comes after may actually surpass it. Are you guys ready for a St. Stephen not fade away Stella Blue? Of course you are. To the tour book we go. St. Stephen. New York and St. Stephen. Peanut butter and jelly. Chocolate chip and mint. Some things mesh perfectly. 12 notes from Garcia's guitar are all it takes to release a massive flood of emotion from the seats toward the stage. There's talk of a St. Stephen performance in Boston. But this is New York, and never the two shall meet. It's our turn to show them who's cheering between the lines means more. This isn't a contest. It's a damn concert. Must you New Yorkers turn everything into competition? No, but life's more fun that way. Thinking you are the best and proving it are completely different. We just proved it, so yeah, we don't mind sitting back and reveling with the best of them. If it's diplomacy you want, then you've come to the right place. A smack on the back, a clap on the knee, a light punch on the shoulder. These guys sure are friendly. Touchy-feely democracy at its finest. Bob, Jerry, and Donna, strident and proud, confident and bold, bestow wreaths of music upon our heads, which we readily accept. Crowned as subjects, we take a moment to genuflect at the feet of our saint. Are there timing miscues? Does someone come in late? Or are the words delivered with honesty and precision? Yes, they are. We can move on, safe in the knowledge that a king is indeed among us. But we came for the jams, and with the vocals out of the way, this is exactly what we're going to get, along with some rock and roll. We have been waiting. Hell, the city has been waiting. Outside, leaves rustle, misattributed to the wind. The sound is life, flowing in and around Central Park, bursting with energy, and growing larger by the minute. Time-lapse photography is needed to do the process justice, but no scientific data could capture the process unfolding inside the venue. The Beacon Theater has become a beacon of radiance, emanating energy that spreads throughout the city. This is a fact. The world is alive, full of life, with energy spinning, creating, and sparking interactions and diversions, a cosmic world that takes any shape you wish to project upon it. We fit in there somewhere. We have to. We've put all our effort into musical immersion. The reward is as simple as it is profound. There is no other place we'd rather be. Contentment is rare, a solace granted for a moment, a time to detach from the chaos, a gift we fail to attain time and again. The trees, the flowers, the animals, momentarily safe from predators and beneficiaries of this moment, echo our conclusion. Satisfaction in the present is true happiness. There is no lusting after the future, nor a wistful gaze into the past. Dwell in the present and never want for anything. Reduce your desire, and in the process, reduce your suffering. This is the way of true contentment. A festival of the moment, a celebration of time. The will and the mind have melded into an indomitable force, standing strong against ego and false pleasures. This is the word of Saint Stephen. Remember it, for it shall guide you during difficult times henceforth. Then the call, the word of God. Can you answer? Yes, I can. Faith restored, we allow ourselves to move forward. But even so, this is one for the after-show conversations, for bragging rights among friends, and for the memories we will carry with us long after our touring days are through. Saint Stephen in New York City. Say it through the tears. Say it through the laughter. Say it as long as the answer remains inside of you. A bombastic version. A joyous occasion not soon forgotten. Not fade away. Okay, that out of the way, let the party begin. A drummer's choice. They bang away with authority, and we are there with them as well. Approximate the percussion with whatever body part is available. Do as you're told, and the elusive groove will reveal itself. Now this is what we call a party. Bob, the master of ceremonies. Can you handle the fun groove, even if it takes a spooky turn? The Grateful Dead isn't the most straightforward band, you know. Sometimes, when it gets hot and everyone is riding along, they tend to want to stretch the limits of imagination, but surely not during a not fade away. Especially during a not fade away. Remember, in 1976, things aren't always what they seem. If there's a slow groove to be found, it's likely to be slid into. Don't say you weren't warned. And of course, that's exactly what happens. A jungle appears, thick and filled with exotic creatures, both poisonous and benign. It is impossible to tell which without a guidebook. If the yellow ring is next to the red ring, they are safe, but alternating patterns of purple and yellow signify a threat to any human who wanders into its lair. Oh, for Christ's sakes, all we wanted was some fun. What's with this jungle and the need for a mental machete just to clear a path out of here? We read about plane crash survivors who slathered mud on their naked bodies, lived on freshwater crabs, beetles, and succulent plants, and hallucinated their way out of the jungle in 10 days, but we are not them. We would just as well curl up in a ball and hope a young tribesman happens to come across us during his daily hunt. Shut up and follow the drummers. You said it at the beginning of the song. This is a drummer's choice. They have the map, the escape route, and a boat ready to carry you downriver to the nearest logging outpost. You will survive as long as the drummers are there. Wrapped in a blanket of love, weak and disoriented, you make it. Looking at it on paper, one might say, oh yeah, and not fade away. But then you'd have to say, no, you don't understand, not fade away. Somewhere, there is a meeting of minds, but the translation is off, and the level of understanding is broken. The beauty of the human experience is that we all experience reality differently. And let's face it, words can never do justice to music. Various forms of art excel at representing particular aspects of the human experience. You may end up shaking your head at your friend who has no idea what sort of not fade away you experienced last night. So you will spend days, weeks, and sometimes years searching for the tape, knowing full well that by the time you finally get your hands on it, your friend will have forgotten the conversation and its impact on you. Such is the life of a music aficionado. Unless someone shares it with you, you will be constantly misunderstood. Oh well, their loss. To know this not fade away is to love this not fade away. And no one can tell us otherwise. Stella Blue. All the years, Jerry reconsiders and lets it go, mindful of the hardships we have just navigated. More healing, please. There are those among us who haven't recovered yet. They are tended to with extraordinary grace. They rise to their feet and acknowledge that they can continue. And this is how we find ourselves entwined in the Stella Blue. It is so beautiful that we cry tears of icicles in summer. The band lets Stella Blue breathe. The Beacon Theater must be cleansed. A sage-like odor fills the rafters. The spirits are chased away until only a clear window pane remains. Glass liquid. Remain inside your bubble of amber, waiting to be discovered by future musicologists. With instruments not yet invented, they will pry apart the hard material, exposing the present air and sounds we are experiencing. A solitary whiff of this moment transports one to an era never again replicated in United States history. Slow, sultry, metallic eyeshadow and halter tops. Not everyone can be the main character. Some of us wear glasses and hate our facial features. Nose too big, eyes the wrong color, thick eyebrows, too fat, too thin, gawky, geeky, too short, gangly, flat-chested, meaty. But we were someone's type. There are no cookie-cutter beauties in attendance tonight. Our imperfections are badges of individuality. Different strokes for different folks was real. A single ideal of what is considered attractive is an alien concept. Much like the Good Humor truck carries many flavors of ice cream, there is a wide variety of us to love. Not everyone can be a bomb pop, and that's okay. Jerry calls out each and every one of us and bestows a moment of appreciation. You matter, says the music, and that is all that matters. Knowing this is enough. Reaching out to your neighbor's hand and giving a squeeze of affirmation is enough. They smile on the inside. The cycle of energy circles around the theater. Together, our beauty surpasses even the most ornate artwork on display. A living, breathing work of art is on display right here, right now, if one is willing to devote oneself to the music. In other news, Jerry's up there fanning the shit out of his guitar. We are in random states of bliss, and everything is right in the world. At the beginning of this tune, we said we could cry. Actually, we've been crying the entire time. We weep for those who never had a chance to experience this deep connection to music and to ourselves. And when the song ends, it just ends. There is no rush to do anything extravagant. Now, to whom do we send the thank you note? How about that Stella Blue? And how about that Not Fade Away? And how about that St. Stephen? And how about 40 minutes of uninterrupted, unapologetic, unfiltered 76 Dead? Exactly. That's what we're talking about. Because back in the day, you'd get this on one side of a cassette and it just said New York, but you'd keep it and cherish it and travel with it, making it a part of your own sonic landscape. And that was the beauty of tape trading. So after that trifecta, the band sputters and putters around with another scrimmage with Samson and Delilah, and then takes the show all the way down with Friend of the Devil. After that, adds another repeat segment of Dancing in the Street and The Wheel. But we will say that The Wheel was a beneficiary of some dancing momentum, but The Wheel is still trying to find itself an identity. Finally, Bob takes the bull by the horns and delivers a sugar mag to perk up the crowd. We'll do a reading from the tour book for this one, which takes us to the end of the second set. Tour book, please, for Sugar Magnolia, Scarlet Begonias, and A Sunshine Daydream. Sugar Magnolia. Bob got the message. Despite his dissatisfaction, he is kind enough to play one of the band's most popular songs. We nod in approval. We get you, Bob. Thank you. And Donna, you beautiful soul, sing the hell out of this tune. We will never disparage you now or ever. Oh my God, is this tune going for it, despite a bit of a musical miscue. Who said 76 is too slow? Take that comment and stick it where the sun don't shine, Buttermaker. We're over here just grooving with the widest grins on our faces, enough to light up the Empire State Building. They should illuminate it in a giant steal your face, but that won't happen for another 40 years or so. We exist in our own ecosystem, sustained by good music, good times, and good friends. At this point, air and water are optional. This has to be the end of the show, right? If so, let's put every iota of energy we've got into keeping the machine moving toward the next stop, New Jersey. Dance it all away. Live like there's no tomorrow, because there's no way tomorrow can be as good as today, not with this Sugar Magnolia as the soundtrack of life. Thank you. Scarlet Begonias. Frankly, Scarlet, we do give a damn. Quick shout out to HBO for keeping adults glued to the TV with their Gone with the Wind marathon this week. It gives teenagers across the land more wiggle room. And how about this call? All bets are off. Call your mother and tell her you ain't never coming home. The sheer audacity of breaking out Scarlet Begonias this late in the show illustrates why no one will ever outperform this goddamn band. We've run out of superlatives. We are stupefied into a stupid silence. We soar with Donna's vocals and look at it right. It's got to be the only way to look at it. This is exactly what the doctor ordered, and we aren't even sick. Right now, the only thing that's sick is the superior musicianship on stage, and on a Tuesday night at that. Feeling rubbery and lucid, we have to groove so hard in our seats that we feel the floor fall away. We are falling, falling deep into the sky. It appears we are falling not downward, but up. Jerry's tone buzzes like an intoxicating insect boring straight into our brains. It takes over and helps us forget what must be forgotten. The Heart of Gold band squeezes every ounce of love from us. There are no strangers here, and with any luck, another song. Sunshine Daydream. Oh, come on, this is hardly fair. The Sunshine Daydream is exactly that, a dream, a window into a world we otherwise would never have been privileged to glimpse. No matter, for less than $10, we have been transported to another world where anything is possible. Time and space bend. Friends, Romans, and countrymen gather to feed the band that started it all. It builds to a wonderful climax. If only more of life's experiences were like this. America the beautiful, indeed. Just a dream, just a dream, just a dream. Searching for a way into reality. Okay, so that was the second Sugar Mag Scarlet ever. The only Sunshine Daydream sandwich, and only one of four with Donna. The most famous being at the closing of Winterland in the first set. But what a moment at the Beacon. All the energy was back for this set, and with Fire on the Mountain still 9 months away, this is as good a combination as you're going to get. Tuesday night at the Beacon started out with The Promised Land and encores with the all-American Johnny B. Goode. A good old Chuck Berry sandwich to send the New York faithful home happy. After a day off, we're going to head over to the Capitol Theater in New Jersey for three more nights. Hope to see you there. But in the meantime, alas, poor New York, we knew you well. Hope you had a good one. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. And we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to drop us a line anytime. See you next show on Grateful Shows. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.